Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Man. I'm going to share with you something personal here. That I let people in on social media and with stories about my kids and my family and things like that. I did something that I had never done. Well, I'd done once before, but with two other people. And my dad never did with me. So, welcome in. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. We got a great show for you. Joel Klatt will join us. Craziness within the Big Ten. Will they finish this season? Wow. Plus, we have a bunch of NFL stuff, including Pat Mahomes doing Pat Mahomes things, Aaron Rodgers doing Aaron Rodgers things, and Mitch Trubisky doing Mitch Trubisky things. Yes, Mitch Trubisky things. but I want to talk about something real quick. Ramos has a son. Byers' wife is pregnant. Congratulations again to Dan. Great dude who's going to be a great father. And Ryan Music is just married, so the practicing is, in fact, the fun part. Anyway, so my son is sports kid. He plays right now, because there's no football, he does baseball and basketball. And we've been pretty fortunate. We found ways to play one of the two sports every weekend. Many of them, you know, 5-6 games of hoop in a weekend and a game or two of baseball in a weekend. And he has a big baseball tournament coming up. Actually, I just found out it's on a Friday, as well as Saturday and Sunday, and he'll do baseball. So he had a little bit of a foot issue, and it was Thanksgiving, so we kind of shut him down. We just need a break. And so you know what he said? He said, "Dad, I'd really like to play golf with you." So you know what I did? I played 18 holes of golf with my son, and I looked at my cell phone one time, and it was only because he was on his cell phone and somebody else became alerted to it and said, "Why is he on his cell phone?" Right? Anyway, it was amazing. You know, I didn't grow up playing golf. I'm not bad at golf. I mean, Byers really more the golfer. And my dad never played golf with me. My dad was not a bad dad. He's like, "Oh, he's terrible." No, like, we did things together. We didn't play golf. Ramos at some point in time, Buyer at some point in time, Music at some point in time. You don't even have to love golf. It's just the idea of, like, hey, we can talk about whatever we want to talk about here. Anyway, pretty cool day. Not a great day for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, look, they're going to make the playoffs. And the teams they've lost to are the good ones, especially defensively. I know they lost to the Bears, who aren't good. But Rams, Chiefs, Saints twice. 8 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 60% completion, 252 yards passing per game. You have all different parts of the spectrum speaking out on Tom Brady. Some are saying, look, he's washed up. Tony Romo is making excuses. Others, Dan Orlovsky, hey, man, this offense, bad fit. Tony Romo acting like a surrogate for Tom Brady's army, pointing out the flaws within the offense. It's pretty obvious to anybody who likes, respects, and understands what's made Brady an all-time great, understands what's lacking, what's missing in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. You know, what's missing in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. And it's not just Brady. It's not just a running game. It's not just, hey, maybe their defense is a little overrated. It's the cohesion between the two. But you know what I've noticed recently? I've noticed that it went from a marriage that probably won't produce a Super Bowl to one that is going to end in an ugly divorce. That's how quickly this thing feels like. Now, you have in the NFL what's called, in all sports, a get-right game. You're familiar with what a get-right game is? A get-right game is when you have opponents that there's no chance you're going to lose to. They have the third easiest remaining schedule in the National Football League. Now, part of that is the Atlanta Falcons, who just stomped a good team. The Raiders, or a team we thought was a good team. So they have some get-right games coming up. But Tom Brady, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, another loss, another home loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. In fairness, they've only lost to good teams or good defenses. The Bears aren't a good team, but they do have a very good defense. The other ones are all playoff teams and teams that you could foresee having a chance to play for a Super Bowl. So all of those things should kind of give you energy to really believe that the Buccaneers still have a chance. But when I hear Tony, so here's the difference. Do you guys remember, I want you to jog your memory a little bit. Do you guys remember when the Bears, I think, were playing the Rams on national TV on Monday Night Football? And Brian Griese, as an analyst, got in a little bit of trouble because he said that Matt Nagy called plays that Nick Foles knew wouldn't protect him, wouldn't work. Do you remember that? Okay. The way it usually works is what happened with Brady and Romo, not what happened with Foles and Griese. Usually, a quarterback tells another quarterback, hey, man, he keeps calling stuff that ain't going to work. Our line's not, doesn't protect enough. I'm not athletic enough. Our wide receivers aren't getting open well enough. The timing of it, he's running plays to just call plays, not plays that fit what I need, when I need it, how I need it, right? And usually Greasy changes that and says, here's what I think. It feels like, this is what a lot of guys say, it feels like Matt Nagy is calling plays that don't quite fit what Nick Foles needs, wants, or has to feel good about. That's what happened in the Buccaneers game. Brady has always been close to Romo. Don't believe me? How do you think Romo knew all the plays, what was going on in New England? I mean, do you think he just studied film after film after film and knew what play was called? No. He and Brady are clearly boys. Right? They're the exclusive. They're in whatever skull. You know that? Remember that movie Skulls? Ramos remembers it, right? Like the secret society of Yale, Skulls. What's it called? It's supposed to be at like the government level. There's that Dan Brown movie about where everything's got the pyramid in it. You know, what is that called with the eye coming out? Illuminati, right? There's like a football Illuminati. That's what there is. There's a football Illuminati where everybody, those guys know each other. And Romo spent the entire game pointing out the flaws within Bruce Arians' offense. Brady's airmailing pass, like there is a play when Antonio Brown is lined up in the backfield and he's the hot route and he's supposed to get out wide. Instead, he's far too narrow, which Dan Orlovsky has pointed out, like, yeah, he's right. He's far too narrow, whatever. Romo pointed out. The point is that even if he was in the right spot, go-go gadget arms couldn't caught that football. It was thrown out of bounds, and he wasn't trying to throw it out of bounds. Romo wasn't wrong, but he was placing all of the blame on the offense of Bruce Arians, which, or the play calling of Byron Leftwich, which clearly means that Brady had gotten to him and that he probably agrees with him. And here's the smart way to do it instead of what Greasy did, which gets the quarterback in trouble and makes the head coach look bad. Take a listen to Tom Brady after the game saying all the right things.
No, it's just the external noise that when you're losing, you know, that's what you deal with. So, you know, I love playing for the guys that I play with, the coaches, the whole organization's been unbelievable. And I think you know, but you got to go out, and I certainly have to do a better job the last 4 weeks of the year. So appreciate it. Just have a good week.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, he's saying all the right things, but I'm going to warn you from doing this for a long time. What people say, that's what actually made Arians' comments about Brady so weird. Everybody says the right thing about their... We're going to get it a little bit later into the Rams because generally Sean McVay says the perfect thing. When it goes right, it's about the players. When it goes wrong, it's about the coaches. He lost a little bit of that yesterday, showing that he's truly frustrated. But there's no proof in anything from what a quarterback says when he says the exact right thing. Tom Brady is a terrific quarterback. Tom Brady's been doing this a long time. Tom knows that a full frontal assault of Bruce Arians in the media does him no advantages to him. Doesn't doesn't fit him well. And he didn't throw terribly, right? He was 345 yards, three TDs, two interceptions, but there were some misses that were just bad. Just bad. And there's a disconnect there between play caller and quarterback. And there's a feeling that the offense isn't getting better. It's the same old against the better team. They got tons of talent. It's just the talent doesn't all fit together with how Brady wants to play or how the plays are, in fact, called. But what you heard yesterday from Tony Romo is that that's the FU right back at Bruce Arians. Oh, we want to use the media? Here's how you use the media smartly. Here's how I'll point out all of you. You want to talk about my flaws, getting confused at the line of scrimmage and not throwing the deep ball well? I'll point out all of your flaws, but I'll simply do it smartly by going through Tony Romo. Because normally Arians not going to watch the TV copy, right? They watch the All-22. They got all these other cameras. They don't need it. But I guarantee somebody's like, did you hear Romo said about you in the All-22? In the TV copy? Nah, I didn't hear it. What'd he say? Somebody, and it gets relayed to him. He's like, really? Then he'll cue it up and watch it himself. And Bruce Arians right now sitting there knowing that Tom Brady did the political thing. I don't have to say it. I can get somebody else to say everything I'm thinking and then have video to prove it. And then I'll say all the right things at the podium. Right? Love my teammates. Love my coaches. Smiling as he stabs you right in the back. That's what they do. The genius politician. That's what they do. You want to play games? We'll play games. You want to play football? Let's play football. And what usually happens in these types of relationships? Look, you're not going to live up to anyone's expectations, reasonable or otherwise. And then it ultimately ends in a bad relationship. Now, does Brady come back next year? Do the expectations go up? Do they level off? Do people think he's old? Do they start talking about him? What do you do with Arians? Do you bring him back? He's talking about retiring. It's a very confusing thing. I didn't think it would end in a Super Bowl and thought it would end as a guy who chased it and found out it wasn't all that happy on the other side, but it would end fine. Now I think it's going to end ugly. I just do. Don't believe me? I got Tony Romo's comments, which I believe came on some level from Brady and Brady's people, to back that up. Coming up next, it's officially over for this NFL quarterback and potentially this head coach. And it's pretty easy based upon what we saw yesterday. I'll explain next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I have friends in the Bears organization, and I think they're generally good people. And I feel like what's happened to them is what happened to Mack Brown at the end of at Texas. You know? If you don't have a quarterback and you got to pick a quarterback and that quarterback's, it just makes you look like a bad coach. That's really kind of what it comes down to. That no amount of play calling can change it. You just, it looks like a bad, you look like a poorly coached team. And, you know, Matt Nagy urges the Bears to wake up and have some personal pride. Quote, I know this, we better wake our tails up. Nagy said in a Monday Zoom call, every freaking coach and staff, every player better wake up, start understanding where we're at, and have some personal pride, have some freaking sense of urgency, know where we're at, have some pride into what we're playing for and why we do this, and find a way to go win as a team. This is my challenge to every single person in that building this week is that. Yesterday was flat out embarrassing. Our guys know it. I'm not telling you something they don't know. They know it. We're going to step up in all coaches and players. We got five games left. For us, it's our personal challenge, where we're at, and how we're going to do this thing. But that performance yesterday is ridiculous and can't happen. Obviously, it starts with me, Matt Nagy. Look, his quarterback's not good enough. You know, this is... It's the Jags with Bortles. It doesn't matter how many other... What happens with a great defense is at some point they go like, come on, man. You know, and I'm willing to be honest with you and say the first drive was great. Then they get down to the end zone and Trubisky threw two balls, which wide receivers should have caught. And congratulations to the Green Bay Packers. They broke up both passes after they were both secured. And I'd also be honest and say, like, look, Trubisky's a guy who struggled with self-confidence. And he's a guy who, when you struggle with self-confidence and somebody says, and you got off to a great start, you score a touchdown, you're probably going to play better. Where instead, he plays perfect football, throws two absolute strikes in the end zone. They both end up on the turf. And they get a field goal. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you're down. It was 6-3 because the Packers missed their first extra point. And then you're down two touchdowns. And this is where all of a sudden, you know, he loses his confidence. He gets out of sorts. He can't read a defense. He throws into double coverage. The next drive, they're driving well. And then they just got the play calling just got, he shouldn't have thrown the football into double coverage, but it felt they were doing a great job of being conservative, dink, dunk, nickel and diming you. And then, hey, let's take a big shot. Why? What's the point of that? Terrible. But you do that because you know, I ain't got that good a quarterback. We got to just, let's try and steal an explosive play. Read something. I mean, he threw one in a double coverage interception, one in a triple coverage interception. That's just, it's over. So look, it's over for Trubisky. And it probably means it's over for Nagy. Because when the guys stop competing for you, even when it's not your fault, then there's no bringing you back with a different quarterback. Like Anthony Lynn, it was pretty embarrassing what happened down at the end of that game. And it does feel like the Chargers will be at least partially in the market for a new coach. But they're still playing hard for him. The Bears have a great defense, and they played hard for about a quarter, and they're like, forget this. Right? Like, we literally have no chance. We've been busting our butts for 10 weeks. They've been trying to figure out the offense. They circle back around to Mitch, and dude's throwing balls where nobody can catch them. And look, I'll be fair and say that we don't know which of those balls. I love Tony Dungy. He is an absolute mensch of a man. And he was, for the most part, not hypercritical of most anything. That was not as good a watch as it could have been had, I think, they put Sims in there. Because they don't have Collinsworth, because Collinsworth was set to do, I think he was set to do Baltimore and Pittsburgh. When that got delayed, he was going to do that on Thursday. Now he's going to do it on Tuesday. I mean, excuse me, on Sunday, he's going to do it on Tuesday. But we didn't get the wide receiver actually ran the wrong route here, what the actual problem was. But it's pretty obvious that it's over there, and it's probably over for Nagy because the guys have stopped. The defense, his beloved defense, isn't playing nearly as hard as consistently because I think even they've had it. Like, we got no offense. We got no shot. And it just shows you miss on that position. It's one of those things you got to be careful about drafting that position. You miss on that position, you always play that position. And if the guy can't play, you put a ball cap on him and he stands over there in the sidelines. Right? Whereas if you miss on a left tackle, the guy can become a right tackle or a guard. You can still find some use for him. And it's not as big of a sore thumb, if you will.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
He is the head coach of Lipscomb Academy. I think they play for a state championship this weekend, or maybe no, it's next weekend, right? They had the Thanksgiving week off, so they play next weekend. They play for a state championship in the state of Tennessee. He, of course, is a Super Bowl champion, Fresno State Bulldog, former top five pick in the NFL draft. He's the one and only Trent Dilfer. Trent, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was awesome, Doug. How was yours?
Good. It's really good. Didn't overcook the bird. That was the big thing. Usually that's a problem in any house I've ever been in. And we had a Omaha Steaks gave us a meat thermometer, and it worked to a charm. So it's pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty good. Cook it slow and use the meat thermometer, baby.
There you go. There you go. Okay, let's get to the Brady thing. Now, here's what I shared, and you can hop in wherever you see fit. So just so you know, when Trent took on – when you – entered media, and you tell me if I'm wrong, what you saw was a need for somebody who had played the position, knew the position, studied the position of quarterback, and could communicate to the average Joe what is special about the greats, what they do right, what they do wrong, right? That's when you got into it. So you can speak to this way more than I can. I watched Brady struggle some yesterday. It wasn't terrible, but there were some misses that you just don't see from him. I listened to Romo, and I figure that Brady most likely, they're tight. there's some Illuminati for quarterbacks, which I don't know, because you won a Super Bowl if you're part of it, right? Maybe it's the guys he shakes hands with. I don't know. But those guys seem to communicate with each other. And he was relaying to everybody in America that this offense is not the right offense and not the right play calls for Tom Brady. Is that a fair possibility of how and why it went down?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable, if not likely.
So
I think I'll build on it. I think, okay, so when you say the offense, there's not an offense on the planet that Tom Brady can't run.
Right.
And run to with excellence. But play calling is paramount for any quarterback. The simpatico relationship between play caller and quarterback is without a doubt the most important aspect of getting the most out of your quarterback. You can have crappy play calling, the quarterback can manage through it and find his way through it for a game, two, three. But to get great play from your quarterback, him and the play caller have to be on the same page. What is happening here is this is why when we were asked all these questions when Brady signed with Tampa, what's the fit going to be like? And the term I use, because I didn't want to, I like Bruce and I like Byron and Tom and I have been friends forever. I didn't want to be controversial because I'm not in the media all the time now. I said interesting. Now, my gut was that it was going to be a disaster because Byron and Bruce, the reason they're connected at the hip is because they both live by the machete. Okay, so both of them, their entire careers are big play, chunk play, take the machete out and chop the opponent's head off with it. That's just how they believe offensive football should be played. Tom Brady uses surgical tools and kills you by 1,000 cuts. And that's his DNA. And I'm like, there's no way a machete and a scalpel work together.
Right.
The machete
and scalpel are perfect. Those are great analogies. I love that.
Yeah, they don't. Like, one has been the greatest of all time because he takes out a scalpel and he cuts you a bunch of times. You don't even know you're bleeding until you look down and you go, oh my gosh, my shoes are in a puddle of blood. That's what he's done to defenses his whole career. And they have these guys calling the game that are like, oh, they're just looking. All they're looking at is safeties, and all Tom Brady's looking at is linebackers. Think of it that simple. Tom Brady's looking at linebackers, cloud corners. How do I dissect them? How do I frustrate them? How do I spin them like tops? We'll go 9 plays, 72 yards in 4.5 minutes, and finish with a touchdown. The defense will think they're winning. And Bruce and Byron are like, okay, what are the safeties doing? Oh, he's too tight. Oh, that corner's aggressive. Let's double move them. Let's run seams. Let's run double post combinations. That's how they've always called the passing game. I remember when Carson Palmer first got with Bruce Arians, called me and said, holy crud, this guy wants to take a shot on every single play. Every single play has a vertical aspect to it. He'd be a great guest to get on, by the way, if you can find him in his,
who, Carson?
Hideout now. That
he, yeah, we've had him on. He's amazing. He fly fishes every day in Idaho.
Yeah, he's amazing. And he could tell you this because he was mind-blown on Bruce's offense. And what you're seeing is the play calling. Tom's like, wait a second, I just hit a chunk play. Why are you coming up with another one? And you can almost see the frustration in his eyes. Like, where's the option route? Where's the swing to the back? Where's the shallow cross? And instead, it's every play is like, holy smokes, you got Evans going vertical. I got Brown going vertical. Like, why can't I just run a crossing route to the tight end and let him run for 14 yards after I hit him with a perfect pass? And that's what you're seeing. Now, at times when they're running the ball well, those vertical shots are there. And Tom's been successful with them. I don't mean the bombs. I mean more the piercing 15 to 25-yard throws. But really, to get the most out of Tom Brady, you kind of have to cave to his way of playing football and call the game around him. And by the way, he'll probably get you to the Super Bowl if you do that.
But is it stubbornness? Why won't Tampa evolve? Why won't they meet him in the middle? Why won't they change some of those play calls?
Okay, so I'll give you a personal experience. It's very hard to look at the game differently than you've grown up looking at it.
Sure.
So I kind of look at the game like Tom looks at the game. I've just believed that death by 1,000 cuts is the best way to call a game. I happen to have a big-time quarterback right here in high school, and he is a really gifted vertical passer. So I've had to change around him. So I've had to now look, as I'm 48 years old, I've been around football my whole life, and I'm learning a new way of looking at it because of a 17-year-old kid. But it's the right thing to do to get the most out of my kid. And last week, before the end of half in the state semis, I threw a 52-yard bomb in the half, and he dimed it in there for the touchdown for soft coverage. But he fit it into a small place because that's what he does well. And that's what Bruce and Byron have to do. They have to start looking at the game through Tom's lens. Can they do it? Yeah, I think Tom has a way of making you do those things. I go back to the famous game when I said the Patriots were done against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
And it was much like this Romo situation. Tom had told me some stuff before the game. They were doing different things offensively, and it was not fitting. And Tom was able to get Josh through the course of the year to get them back to doing what they do best. And I fully believe that that's what's going to happen here in Tampa, that Tom will get them his way more than he'll go their way.
I know Aaron Rodgers was amazing, and I don't want to take anything away from it, but the juxtaposition of watching Aaron Rodgers play the same position as Mitchell Trubisky last night was
fascinating.
Yes. Same position, different solar, same league, different solar system. I do think that the two drops in the end zone on the first drive affected Trubisky, right? A guy just searching for confidence, and they end up with a field goal. Then they're down, you know, they're basically down two touchdowns before he gets the ball back a second time. But there's just, you know, it felt like the team kind of threw up their hands and was like, this ain't it. And they kind of quit on the quarterback and quit on the coach last night. Am I overselling what I saw?
Nope. I know, and I hardly ever use the Q word in the NFL. But, yeah, you definitely saw a team that's just disheartened with the quarterback play, disheartened with just the whole vibe around Trubisky. Remember, he's a young kid that left a year sooner than he should have. Mm-hmm. Got overdrafted, hadn't played a lot of college snaps, so hadn't been the quarterback. And this is always a big conversation. Being the quarterback is more than playing the position. Being the quarterback is leading a team meeting. Being the quarterback is facing adversity. Being the quarterback has layers upon layers on it. And he just wasn't the quarterback very much in college. So he goes to the NFL, and he doesn't have those pelts on the wall of being the quarterback. And an NFL locker room will see right through that. So I think a lot of that is what's going on there, stuff we don't see Monday through Saturday. And then he's just not as talented as everybody said he would be. Now, he's a gifted athlete, and he could develop into a good player if he was given time. But you're seeing a lot of his flaws exposed and magnified is the word I'm looking for, magnified. Because of the situation he's in. It's just a bad deal all the way around. I really think the coach is a good person. I think he's a good coach. I think him and the GM just went too far in on this kid and then tried to save it with the Foles thing, and everybody knew that wasn't going to work. And that thing just needs to be rebooted.
Yeah. Yeah. I tend to agree. Where does Matt Stafford finish his career in Detroit?
No, I think he goes somewhere else. I mean, I think they cut bait. I do think he's still talented enough and really respected, by the way. That's the thing. But, you know, you talked about the Illuminati quarterback thing. Like, that's kind of true. And, you know, you also know which guys are really respected around the league. And Matthew's one of those guys. So he'll find another landing spot. But I think everything has to just be blowing up in Detroit.
Yeah, tend to agree with you. You didn't have any eligibility to play for Denver. What must that have been like for Hinton to come up to a game with no reps and try and play against the NFL defense?
I can't imagine it. My mind was blown by that whole thing. I mean, it's hard enough when you get every rep. It's hard enough for us average guys to, you know, get ready to play our best football against a really good opponent week in and week out, to not take any reps, not even be a quarterback on the roster. Just getting the snap operation. The whole thing was mind boggling. I really thought what threw me off was they came out with Lindsey as kind of the wildcat.
Uh-huh.
They should have just played that whole game in the wildcat and just said, we're going to run it 50 times. I mean, you know, you're going to lose, right? There's no way you're going to beat the Saints. Why not just try to shorten the game, play the wildcat, get some good rushing attempts, not even play a quarterback in the game. That's what I would have done. But that was it. I couldn't believe that thing actually happened.
Yeah. Well, you can't bring anybody in. You know, they had to be quarantined for 6 days. You like physically can't.
Yeah.
They had literally no other options. It's like the opposite of youth football, does anybody want to play quarterback? Everybody takes a step back instead of takes a step forward like they do when they're little kids. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Trent Dilfer. Trent, I got a bunch of other quick ones. What do the Niners do to take apart the Rams, and specifically to Jared Goff, who really, really struggled? The Niners clearly have the Rams' number.
Short answer is they've read their mail before it was opened. They just know what the Rams are going to do. The Rams use so much Mike Shanahan, not even Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan stuff that throws people off. The 49ers are like, we see this every day in practice. Like, we hear about this in training camp. There's nothing you're doing that we don't know the answers to the test before you give us the test. It's just a really bad matchup for the Rams.
Terrible. Which is interesting because the Rams dismantled Seattle with their defensive line, dismantled the Buccaneers with their defensive line. Like, and really there was a time there in the third quarter where, I mean, Nick Mullins is not good, and it looked like Aaron Donald had done it again, but they couldn't capitalize on those on suddenly having momentum.
Yeah, it's again, you said short answer. You know me, I can go on and on and on. The quickest way of saying it is that when you're game planning for a team at any level, there's certain weeks you're like, oh gosh, we got this. Like, we know them better than they know themselves. And that's how the 49ers feel about the Rams.
Great stuff, man. Best of luck this week. Don't come home without a state championship. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
It's Trent Dilfer joining us, head coach of Lipscomb Academy, an amazing, amazing high school football program. One NFL team losing their home field for the rest of the season. Is that a big deal, little deal, or no deal? Find out next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
It's the season of savings at Lowe's. Get artificial Christmas trees starting at just $49. Lights, ornaments, decor, whatever you need. Visit Lowe's in-store or shop via their app. Have your items shipped or pick up curbside for contactless service. While supplies last, valid through 12/2. What do you have there, Dan Beyer? Welcome back.
Hey, Doug. The game today is...
Big deal, little deal, no deal.
All right. Big deal, little deal, or no deal that ESPN reports the Broncos had no new positive COVID results in testing from Sunday.
So all the tests were negative.
Yes. No new ones.
No, I understand. I liked what Dan Orlovsky had to say. Did you guys see that he's basically calling out Blake Bortles and calling out Drew Lock? Like, look, dude, you guys got your chance. You weren't ready. You didn't wear your mask. We don't know how they contacted it, but it stands to reason that all those quarterbacks in the same quarterback room, you know, one guy's a super spreader, spreads it to all of them. But if you're wearing your mask indoors, granted, uncomfortable, but maybe it keeps you safe.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal that the 49ers will be playing their next two games as the home team in Arizona.
Feels like a big deal. They're doing it because you can't play in that county, right?
Yes, and they haven't even figured out a practice plan as of right now. They don't even know if they can practice in Santa Clara or what they
That's not the most bizarre story I've heard. The University of New Mexico's men's basketball team is in Texas, and they're practicing at a junior college, and they only have two games currently on their schedule locked in. And they're like looking for opponents. That's a real story. So an NFL team playing a couple of games doesn't feel as big as that one.
Well, the New Mexico football team has been in Las Vegas this season because of the state's protocol. Same with New Mexico State, I think, is in Phoenix for their hoops team. Big deal, little deal, or no deal, Doug, that the NFL announced that their Saturday schedule for the day after Christmas, December 26th, will feature the 49ers and Cardinals playing in a game that will only be available via stream. Amazon Prime or Twitch. Is that a big deal, little deal, or no deal?
Big deal. Wave of the future, right? And the question becomes, so my question is, and I think, is CBS going to produce that? Is that who's going to do it?
I think it would be a Fox game, but I don't quote me on that, but I just know that the...
Look, the big question is, what happens with CBS... ESPN, ABC, I mean, most likely CBS and Fox, because Now, CBS is Viacom now, so it could be sold out, but it might not. With Fox, what I don't think is crazy to see happen is an Amazon or a Yahoo or a Google or a Facebook, Twitch or Twitter, they end up buying all of Fox, and then Fox becomes like the TV production arm for Amazon, for example, because they have all the money. That's where all the money is. And it wouldn't stun me if they bought, you know, we don't have the wherewithal to do games. We need somebody. So instead of hiring a bunch of people to do games, we'll just do it. Let's just buy Fox and let them keep their shop. And maybe we streamline some stuff and use them as our production arm.
Doug, big deal, little deal, or no deal, that Dolphins quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick went 24 of 39 for 257 yards and two touchdowns in yesterday's win over the Jets.
So he won both games against the Jets? Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Jets is pretty awesome. It's curious, though, that you're not seeing Tua, right? I mean, that's...
Brian Flores says that Tua still is guy if he's healthy.
Still my guy, just not healthy. Not healthy.
There's always that caveat.
Yeah.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal that Northwestern essentially locked up a spot in the Big Ten title game because their game against Minnesota this week was canceled.
That's a big deal. Plus, what happens to Ohio State? Can Ohio State find an opponent if their game against Michigan is canceled? Big things in the Big Ten, and we don't have answers for
them. Yeah, I don't know how the Buckeyes had late tests last week against Illinois, so I don't know how then you end up turning around and playing this weekend against Michigan State as well. We shall see. Big deal, little deal, or no deal that the Maui Invitational is being held in Asheville, North Carolina. Right now, by the way. We got to get it on one of your TVs, but...
That's a big deal. That's a huge, huge deal. Because it's always... That has always been... that has always been the biggest tournament of the, we used to call it the preseason. Now you call it the non-conference season, and do it in Asheville, Kentucky. It's fascinating. You know, you'd have Jay Billis, Lahaina Civic Center. I never got to play in it because what happened was Oklahoma State went there in 94. That was the year they went to the Final Four and looked terrible, left their game on the beach, and Coach Sutton wouldn't go back for like a decade. So yeah, I mean, like, this is a big, big tournament. And you get a chance to see these teams playing it.
All right, finally, Doug, big deal, little deal, or no deal, that 60% of college basketball's top five in the latest AP poll are from the Big Ten. Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois at 3-4-5 behind Gonzaga and Baylor.
That's a little deal. I mean, ultimately, that'll even up. Those Big Ten teams all played at home, and Illinois nearly lost to Ohio U. They won by 1 point. Some of that is more a factor of the schedule than how good they are. The league is good. Michigan State is very good. Iowa can really, really score. Wisconsin is very good. But a lot of it is a product of those teams that have played. They played three home games against teams that needed games.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is Game Time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
All right, coming up next, we're going to take you to Tampa. Not for the Super Bowl. I don't know if we're going. Is anybody going to the Super Bowl? Well, we know the Buccaneers don't look like a team that's going to host the first ever Super Bowl as a host team. But how dysfunctional is it between Brady and Arians? And what happened to the defense? We'll find out. We'll take it to Tampa next in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio.